I feel like my mic is too loud.
What's that?
I always talk louder than you. Like when I go to, I think I just stay closer, and I'm louder. Just let's be clear.
Yeah.
I'm just a loud speaker.
You might be.
I'm a little brain dead today, everyone.
That's okay. Busy.
So
man.
If I'm a little scrambled eggs.
Yep.
In my speech today.
Yep.
I'm gonna try to tighten it up as we go.
Yeah.
Bad news. Lost my ring.
I know you said that yesterday.
Lost my ring. So no one cares about this detail, but I'm gonna say it anyways. So I'm doing a weight cut right now.
Yeah.
And the ring was already a little big, and so I've lost 12 pounds, and now it slides.
You're down 12.
Down 12, yeah. And now it slides.
I'm up 40. I might be. No.
But it came off, and I don't even
know.
That's
crazy.
I don't even know when.
Fat in your fingers.
Yeah, I don't even know when it came off. Like I didn't even feel it come off. I have no
really?
Idea. No idea when I lost it.
Could be anywhere.
Anywhere. Well,
could be.
Not anywhere. But
sure, could be.
Anywhere?
Could be anywhere.
It's probably not in the Bahamas.
Could be.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It could be. Probably
so,
not.
So anyways, lots of things going wrong.
That's a well-earned ring that you got there. It's a special fraternity. Is fraternity the word?
No.
What is it? Special group?
I guess it's like a club. It's culty. Actually, when you do it's called the Iron Ring Ceremony that you do. And you can only go to it if you have a ring. It's like you're literally not allowed to go. So it's culty like that, I guess. But it's kind of cool. Mine was unfortunate during COVID, though. So we had a virtual one instead of a real one. Which was like
the
worst.
This is for the world of engineers.
Yeah, which was like the worst ever. It was like so pointless. We didn't get to do any of the cool stuff they do that makes it cult. The cool thing is the cultiness when you go to it. So I got to go to my Christine's when she got hers a couple years later, but I could go because I had a ring. So I got to watch it.
I see.
Yeah, and it was cool because they
I couldn't just go and watch and take pictures because I don't have a ring.
Not allowed. They locked the door, dude.
Really?
They literally locked the door. Yeah.
Wow.
So we... Because
you guys are weirdos anyway.
Yeah, so weird.
Who'd want to go to that party?
Well, man, nobody. Ever. But they have all these weird
equations
traditional
together.
Things.
Yeah.
They have all these weird like things that they've been doing at this thing for years and years and years and decades and decades. And they do all of it, which is cool. And I'm bought in. Like, I won't tell anyone about it.
Oh, yeah?
Like, I won't tell you the details of what happened. Because I'm just bought into the idea. It's cool.
That's all right.
I know. It's cool. So
that's your thing, man.
Yeah, yeah. So anyways, I got to get another ring now, which is kind of shit. But
it's too bad.
Yeah, I know. So
hopefully it turns up, though.
Yeah. So anyways, I'm going to try to tighten it up. A lot of distractions to start the episode here today. So this episode of the podcast is brought to you by the PowerTech Online Membership Program. If you've been listening to Andy and I wondering, hey, how are they able to get all this podcast content out there? Well, that's because of our members. For just $9.99 a month, you can get access to our online video library, including hundreds of videos of Coach Andy teaching, and have the option for consultation calls with Andy or myself to go over anything you need. We can cover training, nutrition, coaching, parenting, agents, the junior college hockey path, whatever's of interest to you. You'll also be able to participate in our popular Ask Me Anything episodes, have access to special discount codes, and be given priority for any PowerTech in-person camps or events. If you like what we're doing here and you want to support us, this is the best way to do it. Visit powertechhockey.ca/memberships or find the link in the description of this video to learn more. What do you got? You got any bullshit before we start?
I don't want to go into it because they're local people, but one guy came in, showed me a video of his coach at a U9 level, house league.
Oh, yeah. Say it. It's worth it.
Taking a penalty shot. Showed me the video. Penalty shot, U9. Or 9, house league, or one step above. Show me the video of the boy ready to go to take the penalty shot, and then scans over to the coach, and the coach waves it off, puts another kid out, takes that one off, and
let a different guy shoot. That is like I'm gonna do this first. I have to. Why do they call it a soapbox? Do you know why the saying goes?
I don't know.
I'm going to look it up because I think it's worth it. Because I'm going to go on my soapbox here for a second. Oh, it's a raised platform where you can stand to make a speech. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. So why?
Okay. Guys, like moms and dads, for the love of God, honestly, can we just calm down? Can we just calm down, man.
No, so you know, the parents were very upset with that. Not necessarily the child. Obviously, the child's parents were going, "What? Come on, man!" And then I guess there was a lot of parents on the team that were not happy about that, obviously.
And like when I say moms and dads, I'm including the coaches too. It's like everybody. It's like all the adults, all the backdoor conversations and like the side things that people are trying to do. And there's all this like sneaky, like hiding the ball, trying to like get ahead, like get a little edge here, not tell people what you're doing and all this stuff. And I'm just like, your kids are literally 14, but other parents too. Your kids are 9. Like for this shootout example, your kids are 7. Like, you know, I don't get it. I don't understand. And I went through it. So it's not like I'm disconnected. And I can understand that for parents to a degree where it's like you haven't been to higher levels yet. So you don't understand what hockey turns into. And we talk about that a lot. But it's like, where is the rational behavior on the part of the grownups? You know, I get bent out of shape about this a lot, where we get mad at kids or we give shit to like this generation is lazy, this generation doesn't want to work, this generation this. It's like, you guys are the grownups. We're the grownups, guys. We're the coaches, we're the parents, we're the moms and dads. It's like, what is going on? I don't understand. And I don't know what it's gonna take to make people just be transparent about what's going on. You know, like, why is there all this hiding the ball stuff? And I, like, you've been in this longer than me. So like, to me, when I see your behavior with this, you're kind of just like, hey man, I'm just staying out of it now because like I've had enough and it's fine. But I feel like, cause I'm just breaking back into it now, I'm just revisiting like all of this, all the frustrating points of youth hockey and of minor hockey. Yeah. It's mind numbing to me that grownups behave this way. Whether it's the crazy outburst at the game, yelling at the refs, yelling at the coach, sneaky conversations, trying to like band together and mutiny the coach, or the coach is a complete goof and changes a 9-year-old on a penalty shot. It's like, guys,
it's ridiculous.
Guys,
it's ridiculous.
You know, is that too harsh? Is that harsh of me? I don't know.
No, it's ridiculous.
Am I off? Like, am I
no,
wrong?
You're young. It doesn't, this is, there's no reason for you, like, there's no reason for me to say anything other than no. Like you're looking at behavior that makes no sense.
Makes no sense. For 14, 15 year old. If it was your 19-year-old and they're going about to get a contract for millions of dollars, maybe I would understand a little bit more. You'd be a little more crazy about that because it seems much more impactful. And like, I get the development of your kids is impactful, and I understand that.
I think part of the problem is, not part of the problem, I don't know how to say it, but I think where it stems from a lot of the times is that when you get into your youth hockey teams, you start at a younger age, and you have a group of people at a younger age that you get into it together, and you believe that you guys are friends, and that if you do something, I do something, or you kind of like, you got a tight-knit group that you keep things a little bit closer to. Okay? Does that make sense so far? So now you and I are good buddies, and it's like, hey, there's this opportunity to go play somewhere. Go ahead and keep that a secret because, first of all, we don't want anybody else to know, or the organization to know, because they're going to get upset with us. I don't want to deal with that. So you and I will keep this together. What do you think of this? What do you think of this? And then you don't want to make too many commitments, or you don't want to tell too many people because you're in your own little world here. Me and you have the best kids in the whole world, and we're just going to keep that to ourselves, right? And then we'll decide later, but don't let anybody into our little secret. Oh, and by the way, there's this guy that does a skate that I'm not telling anybody else, just you and I. We're going to take our kids there, and then they'll get a step ahead of everybody else. All right. And then there's this agent. There's an agent coming. He talked to me. He goes, I told him about you. So, and, you know, so he's going to talk to you, but keep that quiet. And it's just this world where it means nothing.
So take that exact thread. And now my thing is like, okay, what is this about? And to me, it's like you're trying to make the best development environment you can for the kids. So like, let's say I'm running an organization and it's like, okay, there's some problems here, right? Like, let's say there's some problems. Okay. So we have a board that we can't get anything done. It's one of those, you know, or something like that. Yeah. Right. Typical board. And like, if for me, and maybe I'm just naive, like, and fair enough, man, criticize me if you want, but if I'm a part of that and I just see that it's not good for the kids, then like my recourse would be to explore other options, right? Which is kind of what you're talking about. Now, if I go to explore other options, why is that bad? Why does that have to be a secret? Why does that have to be, and why would another adult care or take it out on the kid. Like, cause I understand the idea of, well, I don't want my kid to get, you know, it taken out on my kid because we're thinking of going somewhere else. I understand that. The fact that that's even a thing that you have to think about for a 12-year-old or 13-year-old or 14-year-old, because another grown adult is going to say, nope, that's not happening with your kid.
It hurt
because,
my ego a little
yeah,
bit.
Because you're pissing me off. So I'm going to take it out on your kid. Like, this kind of stuff that I don't understand. The way I was explaining it the other day, I was having a conversation. I'm like, it's like a bunch of high school kids. That's what the adults behave like. It's a bunch of high school kids. And I cannot believe it. And I can believe it. I get it. But now that I'm just getting the refresher, now that I'm back in it and having the conversations, and I'm like, this is insane. Like, I don't understand why it can't just be, what's the best for the kids? Let's just try to make that happen. And everybody work together to make that happen. I don't know. Maybe it's naive. Maybe it's naive. And it's a lot of moving parts to make something like that happen. I understand that, like any organization, but it's like, man, what a piece of frustration it is interacting with grown-ups that are behaving this way, you know? And I don't understand the desire. Maybe it's not even a desire. Maybe people feel like they have no choice, to your point. Maybe they feel like they have to be sneaky, but I don't know.
I mean, people in general, like when I coached in Detroit, it wasn't like there was boundaries, so you can go play wherever you wanted. And I guess I understand why people would be quiet about that, because if you're on my team and I know that you're leaving, it's January and I know you're leaving in March, do I treat you any differently? Like, that's what I get, where people would think that.
Okay, but then it's like, I'm going to be quiet about it, but not really. You know what I mean? I'm going to be quiet about it, but I'm actually going to tell this person. And then the guy that was talking to me is going to tell somebody.
It all gets out.
And then there's rumors.
Yeah, it all gets out.
And now it's like there's all these rumors. And I'm thinking even with the academy thing, it's like there's all these rumors about what's going on. I'm like, if you guys just talk to me, I'll tell you exactly what's happening.
you would think that's the way it should be.
Right? And it's like, you guys don't have to, there's no rumors. Right. There's no speculation. There's no, you know.
Maybe they're not used to that. I don't know, Eric. It's maybe a weird thing. I mean,
I'm sure they're not used to that. I'm sure that's the case. But even we're talking about like some of these parents are talking about, well, like, you know, We need all the AAA organizations for a while went through this, like, we're going to have a 3-year plan for these kids and have this coach glued to this team for 3 years and all this kind of stuff. And I'm just like, guys, how many coaches has Charlie had in the OHL?
1, 2, 3.
3 coaches.
3 years.
3 years, 3 coaches.
Yeah.
Guys, you know, like, I don't know.
Part was an illness. Well, yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Three and three. Yeah. Same with me. I had how many coaches? I had three or four coaches in 4 years in junior.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's like, guys, and they're young. They need different voices. They need to hear different things. It's like, I don't know.
They need a good coach. They need a coach that's not good. Not need, but it doesn't hurt them to have a coach that doesn't know what they're doing.
It doesn't hurt them
to have a jerk. It doesn't hurt them to have a real motivating guy. It doesn't hurt to have any of those things, because you learn life. And when you learn life, you learn how to deal with different things.
Yeah. I guess the point of me bitching here is, as a community, let's call it, as a hockey community, as a hockey group, and this is not just our area, this is every area, because we hear it from everywhere and it's the same thing. It's like, how about let's all just take a step as the grown-ups and behave as such.
Yeah, good luck though.
Right?
No, good luck.
I know. And yeah, it's unfortunate, man, because it's about the kids.
One of the things that we talk about when we see the academies, or we see like different teams that pop up in centers where you don't have to have boundaries and stuff, what it does, it makes a little bit of accountability, which I don't mind. So what happens is, when you have these boundaries where if you live on this side of the street, you can't play for this team. So in this area here, in London, it's London, Elgin, Middlesex, right? So there's your two splits. Windsor, Sun County, there's your county, there's your city. Clarington, it might be Quinty, something else, whatever. And the problem is that If you don't run a good program, you're stuck. Which is part of that is, well, you get a shit sandwich, you gotta eat it. But on the other side of it, it's like, well, why, just because I live on this side of the street, can't be part of something better? So now that you have academies popping up all over the place, not just talking about the one that we're doing, academies popping up all over the place, and organizations like in the Toronto area and in Detroit and those centers where you build a good program, you get to build the team that you like. Well, the good thing about that is, if you build a good program, then people will want to come. So now all of a sudden it's these organizations that have sat on their ass. Well, of course you sit on your ass, sat on their hands, or ignored a lot of the things that were real issues, or They kind of just said, no, you don't have a choice, right? Because they had control and you had to play here. And all that secrecy did come about because, you know, you're hiding a divorce, you're moving houses so you can play somewhere else, all these different things, just so your kid can play hockey, maybe what you think is a better organization. It's like now, now with the academies or these different programs that are coming out, it's forcing you to be, oh, now I have to have a good program to compete, which is good. That's the part that I like about this. Like I like it's even in any business, right? Like if I was only when I started my hockey training thing in 2000, if it would have just left it as there's already a guy in town and I got to do whatever I wanted, then would it force me to be a better competitor? Would it force me to make myself better? Would it force myself to care about the kids? Would it just be a money hungry thing? Would be any integrity to it at all? So if there's 2-3 people now, it's like, okay, now I got to make sure I'm a better service. I got to do better things and better teaching, all that kind of stuff to survive. Maybe the prices need to be lower. Maybe they need to be higher, whatever, but the competition should elevate. And I think with a lot of the youth hockey, with the academies coming in and stuff, it's challenging the old school institution that is kind of outdated anyways. I'm not saying that those can't be good, because they can still be very good organizations. But I think what they've been challenged with is organizations that have changed the rules a little bit or challenged them to be better. And that's an interesting piece now. Like, how does everybody respond to that? Because when people get like when an organization that has done it one way for so many years, all of a sudden something comes to change, like comes to challenge them, like that's a big thing. Now, do you respond with, typically what a lot of people do when they're challenged with something is to like, okay, it's not fair, bullshit, you know, and you start you start finding all the faults and just saying that's stupid, don't do that, where there needs to be challenge now. And that's a big thing. So if they have their shit together, they will
sharpen up.
Yeah, 100%.
I know. Anyways, I'm not trying to be a complainer here, but man, guys, and maybe it'll be different. Like I said, maybe the lights will go on for me when I have a kid, and maybe I'll be this exact same way. I don't know.
Don't have to though.
That's what I think.
You don't have to.
You know,
you don't have to. You got common sense. You don't have to. Like the thing is that when you think in youth hockey, like the thing that drives me crazy about it is that there's only so many kids that can actually have a spot to move on to a different level at the end of the day anyways. And it's a very small number in every single community. We've done numbers on everything, but so like, what are you getting all bent out of shape for anyways, guys? Like at the end of the day, very slim chance any of your kids are moving on.
This is my whole thing.
Not excited about.
Right. You could have the best. We just did this the 2 weeks ago. It's like you could have the best team in Ontario in minor hockey. 3 to 5 kids will go on from the best team in Ontario to maybe have a career in hockey of some sort. So like, what are we doing, guys? It's like, how about let's just create a good development environment where they can get the most possible out of hockey while also becoming a good kid and a good person. Like, is that, I don't know, is that hard?
Yeah, but if you have your head screwed on straight, and I know some people just don't understand hockey, and part of it, we'll talk about this, the person that emailed us today, or the other day, is if you don't really understand, then I get there's a bit of an excuse, but like when I talk to you about, you know, a lot of people say, when were you hard on Charlie? When did you do this with Charlie? Whatever. And I said, I didn't do anything because I knew that you're going to have to be really, really good, but you have to be really, really good at the later in life. So when he was a little kid, he was okay. He was good. He loved hockey. He got better. In Pee Wee, he was an average hockey player. Very average. And I didn't care about it. Like, I cared that he had fun. And then when he got to Bantam Minor, something clicked that made, well, there was a physicality piece. Something clicked that I said, oh, okay, there's something here now. And when I meant something here, all I said was, there's a good foundation here for him to be a player. The next year came along and it was like, and he was almost a year younger because he's a late birthday. So it's not like he was bigger, faster and hairier than everybody. So then I was looking, I said, okay, there's a base here. I told my wife, and I think I told you the exact same thing when he was about 14 years old, that when we talked about hockey, I can see my son at this point, if he continues to do at what he's doing, because the foundation of his hockey skills, the brain that he has, the way he plays, all the different things, if he continues on this trajectory, he will have his school paid for. I never said National Hockey League. He will have his school paid for because he had the skill, the smarts, the toughness, all that kind of stuff, and somewhat size. And then so that came true. Now, the next level, that's totally up to him, and you can't get your panties in a knot about it because that's such a long thing. But like when I was looking at it, I was looking at, okay, there's something here, and I've seen a lot of players. The foundation is there. Now, if this is all it is, he can't do it. But if the foundation that we've laid out or he's laid out for himself, his competitiveness, his shot, his passing, his vision, his physicalness, his compete, all the stuff, there's the foundation that you need. And he got his school paid for. After that is totally up to him.
And I was listening to, or I came across again, it was this clip from Spit and Chicklets, which I actually never listened to, but I just saw this one clip, and they were talking about this thing, the exact same thing, about how people, when the parents, when the kids are young, are going all mental. And it was Ryan Whitney. He was saying, he's like, these guys, they haven't hit puberty, they haven't met a girl, and they've never had a drink. We don't know who the players are yet. We have no idea who the players are yet. Let them get through those three things, and then we all have a conversation and see where everyone's at.
That's if you're a really good player.
Yeah, which will be 15, 16, 17, 18. That's around the time when those things happen. And so, you know, we're talking to some of these parents and watching some of these games and at the stuff. I'm like, they're little kids, man. You know, one of the parents the other day, he was like, you know, he's talking about the academy thing. He's like, at the end of the day, my kid's going to go where I tell him to go. Because I'm the dad, and he doesn't care. He just wants to play hockey, which, exactly.
Kid just wants to play hockey, man.
Like, he just wants to play. So all this stuff that we're talking back and forth about, I'm sitting here listening, and I'm just like, that exact perspective. No booze yet, no girls yet, no puberty yet, and your kid doesn't care anyways. He just wants to play. He wants to go where he's going to like his day. He wants to go where he's going to enjoy his day, get better at hockey, hang out with his buddies. That's what he cares about, you know? So I don't know. That was my spiel. I don't really even know if I have a point, but
No, I get your point.
My thing is just, guys, like, come on, man.
I get your point.
You know, come on.
It's the most frustrating thing in the world.
Yeah. So anyways, we can go to this email because it's kind of talks about some of the same stuff for the younger ages. And we mentioned it at the end of the episode last week where the idea of doing too much of not enough, where you feel like you're doing everything and it's still not enough stuff. So I know you wrote a couple of things down about this email in full. So we're going to go through it in a little more detail because I thought it was great. And there's a lot of crossover, I think, for a lot of people where they'll be able to relate to it. So I'll leave it to you.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm just going to pick through this email. So I love your podcast. I was wondering if you can maybe discuss the issue that I really didn't understand until this season. I have two boys. One's 32 and one's 12. Little gap there. And this has been an interesting difference in the two of them and that I wish I would have prepared for before this moment. My oldest, when he played, had to work triple hard to be good at mite squirt and peewee minor. And he struggled to where if he didn't love it so much, I would have found a different sport. It was painful to watch for a few seasons. However, by the time he moved up to peewee major, kids began to fall off, but he kept working and started hitting the gym and hitting the ice pretty hard. And it was unprompted by me. He had an amazing work ethic and worked so hard. He excelled in juniors and then university and beyond. And eventually, he became a university referee. So didn't become a pro, but he played some played junior and university.
This is the older boy.
That's the older boy. Now, my 12-year-old is quite a bit different. I didn't want him to play hockey, but his brother talked me into teaching him how to skate and led him to play one season of mite. And then, of course, he loved it. Hockey came easy for him. Everyone was like, he has so much talent, which I knew meant nothing at all at the wonderful age of 8. But his effort has not always been there, like inconsistent. He was good, but even at Pee Wee, I allowed him to try out for AAA Pee Wee Major. He made the team, but let me tell you how hard it's been for both of us. Now we're at the end of the season, and I'm starting to see that we hear stories of the ones that were really good at young ages that don't do as well later or struggle when the added demands of hockey. Because at higher levels, everyone's doing the extra work, and now the player has to do more. I've been thinking about why he struggled this season with the, doing the extra part. And I'm thinking it's the work habits he didn't need when he was young that he does need now. He wants to keep playing AAA, and he goes to a I'm not going to say the school. He goes to a academy. I could say that it's been a nightmare because I just can't see him getting his effort level up. Sometimes, like at the academy, it's kind of teaching the same stuff, and it's too much of not enough. What'd she say? It was the punch turn and the step jab.
Yeah.
Just kind of teasing that. Which says like there seems like even the academy seems to be like too much for everybody. That's it. I'll just leave it at that. There's enough to go on.
Okay. So let me, I'm going to boil it back. A couple highlights. I'll get your comments and then you can kind of take it. So highlights of the email, I guess, are, so she has two boys. One is 32. The other is 12. So the one has already been through hockey. It's done. So she was saying he had had an easy time, more or less. He worked really hard, but he ended up getting somewhere out of hockey, ended up becoming a university referee. So he played through juniors. He did all that stuff. And it was like, okay, cool. With the second boy, she wasn't even going to put him in hockey. And then she was convinced by the older boy, let him try, whatever. Of course, he liked it. Hockey came easy to him. So he's now playing when he's younger with maybe players that aren't as good and excelling. It's coming easy to him, yada, yada. So now this year he was moved up to AAA. And she's saying that his effort level has not risen to the level of the higher players now. So the fact that hockey came easy to him is now not enough. It's not enough to keep him going. So she's saying we've done all these things. We've put him in. He's at an academy now, so he's got all the development through the day. He still plays with his team. He's getting practice time. He's on the ice. He's doing all this stuff. And she's not seeing the return on investment for her kid. So now she's wondering, one, is it my kid? Like, how do I get my kid to understand how to elevate his effort? Maybe he just doesn't understand it, which she explicitly said, like, now I'm thinking he doesn't get it. Like, he just doesn't get what it means to try hard. And then what about all this stuff we're doing? So she's like, I'm watching all these camps. I'm watching all this development stuff. And they're doing all these things. They're using the fancy terms, the punch turn and all this whatever. And it's not hitting for her. She's not seeing the value. So her question more or less at the end is, like we talked about last time, is it more? Do I need to do more? Do I need to do less? What's the issue? Like, why is this happening? Which I think this is hockey parent 101. This is the, like, basically everyone will have this, some version of this at some point. So like, what are your, let's say starting thoughts on just the kind of the story in general, and then you can kind of take your points here.
Like in general?
Yeah. Like just in general, like from the perspective of the mom, just like, what are you, or dad, whatever. Same thing.
First of all, I love that she's humble to recognize. Cause I remember in the summertime and she was watching a lot of the clinics or the camps that we were doing and almost didn't seem friendly at first. She was just like seemed very intense. And at first I'm going, holy crap, like, relax, it's a camp. And I understand her mindset now, right? And then she came in at the end of the camp. She was so thankful, so happy about everything. So I get it. You put money into your child's sport. You invest because at some point you think they're pretty good, or they're not good enough. So you think if helping them will make it better. And I get it. And so from the aspect of the parent, it's like, where do you go? And especially if you haven't been in the game. A lot of people think like you just put time and effort in or money into it. It solves all problems and more is better. I get it. And the problem is it's not true. It's not true. Like I said, my biggest frustration, I'll go into that probably after right now when I'm teaching players like I told you earlier, I said, I have to find pockets of time in every clinic that I do right now, where it's hard, hard, hard effort, where I've got to squeeze it out of them, because they're on the ice so much, doing so many things with so many different people. Like, I'm going to be honest, I see that it's not, hi, coach, like it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago. It wasn't like the respect for coach, unless I've lost all respect for people. Like, maybe that happened, but the respect for your coach is like, it's not as much because they got, and possibly it's because they got four jackasses a day. I don't know. And then one that demands a little bit of respect and structure. It's like, maybe they don't know how to deal with it. But anyways, it starts there. It's like just another session. It's just another coach, just another drill. And I think they do so many things at half ass or nonsensical freaking drills that things don't make a ton of sense anymore. And so my biggest thing is to find purpose in everything we do, but then find something where they actually have to go really, really hard. Because I think they're in a mode, this is what I've come up with in the last little bit, they're in a mode where everything they do is, because it's a business out there, all these schools and training, it's a business, that it's almost like, don't push me too hard or else I'll quit and go somewhere else. So you know, it's almost like making everybody happy. And I know this might sound absolutely crazy, but it's that's what I see. And it's like, okay, I want to do the fun stuff, keep it fun, don't make it too like actual, don't make it hockey. And hockey's hard. So anyways, one of my biggest things, they have to learn how to work hard, and that's, again, work hard again.
So what's one of the ways that you, I don't know if enforce is the right word, but what is one of the ways or some of the things you're doing now to combat that too much ice thing to make them, so you're saying, you know, carve out pockets of time where they have to go really hard? Like, what is your strategy for doing that?
One was an overspeed drill today. Is that what you mean? Like,
what are you doing to make it happen?
One is an overspeed drill today, and it's like the focus, and I'm making the focus like really, really like for the 7 minute, 8 minute time period, it's got to be hard. It's like, it's just like the energy has to be hard. It's talking to them. It's moving the feet. It's the coaching cues that continue on that. And so that's one. It's getting a small, like today we did a lot of cutback things with as a skill itself, and it was all focused on moving their feet hard for a period of time. And because they're used to just kind of going, they're just used to doing it. So it's like putting them in like a little game situation where you have to do it really hard. And then after that, it's like, okay, we can go back to our shooting and stuff that is not so intense. And honestly, I don't want them to skate 1 hour, hour and 15 every single day where it's full balls out. You have to have teaching and stuff like small, like skill stuff that'll make you better. But that's, anyways, I find a couple drills that are game-like, short areas where they have no choice to go hard, and then of course a little battle thing here and there. But I even find in the games we do like little battle drills now, it's just like, it's like, can you guys get some intensity?
Yeah,
do you find?
Yes. So I was just gonna say, so this is my ad.
I'm what not I've carving been doing. Kids, I'm just saying this is what I
no
see.
No, I get it, because I see the same thing. So what I've been doing now, when we do any small area game, specifically if we do like a let's say use like a cross ice 3-on-3, for example, I literally will keep my whistle in my mouth and I say, if you don't make a pass within 3 seconds, like when I count to three, it's a turnover. And the reason I find that works is because guys will try hard when they have the puck. It's the guys when they don't have the puck that they'll just like not give good effort. So when the puck is constantly zipping around, the probability that guys have the puck goes up. And the more they have the puck, the more guys are giving effort. And that just picks up the speed of the game. So I've been doing that with our guys when we do small area games. It's like, you got 3 seconds to either take a shot or move the puck. If you don't, turnover for the other team. And that's been like really picking up the intensity and picking up the speed, which is a pain in the ass, because I can't actually give the teaching because I'm waiting to blow the whistle if somebody turns the puck over. But that's been one way that I've enforced it with our guys to make, one is to make them move it too, just because a lot of them want to hold the puck too long anyways and go through everybody and all that. But the more guys that touch the puck, the more they feel involved and the more that the speed of the game picks up. So that's how I've been improving it. I was going to bring that up with the small area stuff too, because I see the same thing. It's like, and to the point of the email, it's like teaching the kids to work hard. It's the same thing in the gym. Like I had a guy doing deadlifts today, one of my younger guys, and he is a workhorse. He works. And one of the other guys, not so much of a workhorse. So the one guy finished his set of deadlifts and the guy was like, man, it looked like his head was going to pop off. I'm like, yeah, because he's trying hard. Like, do you see it? Like, do you understand? And that's what I said to him. I was like, do you understand? Like, that's what it feels like when you're giving near maximal effort. That's what it's going to look like, you know? And that's another area where you can help to teach the kids to work hard, is really pushing themselves in the gym, because it's so explicit. You're either gassed, you either gave it everything you had on that rep or everything on that set, or you didn't. And you can see, how many more do you think you could have done? And you can make it much more tangible in a gym setting, and then that could translate to the game where it's a little bit more abstract, because you can coast around. You can stand up and relax when you're on the ice. You know, it's not constant intensity unless you make it intense. You know, where the gym can kind of enforce the intensity on you. So those are a couple of different areas that for me as a coach, I've been trying to utilize to make kids understand what effort feels like, you know. So
like that's consequence too. Like if you have, like if you do the small area games or any competition drill, one thing that does help is if there's a consequence, like push-ups or win or lose or picking up pucks, little things like that. It helps a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But what I was going to say about that first comment she said about her older boy, like when I looked at that, it's a very common thing. You know, her older boy just kind of wasn't very good for a while. And he loved it. That was a nice example of a kid that just likes hockey a lot. He just loved hockey, and it wasn't about being in the National Hockey League. He loved the game, and he was going to muck through it no matter what, right? But the great thing about it is because he loved it, he put in effort because he loved it, right? It wasn't because a lot of the kids that put in efforts because they're good at it. It's doing the hard things, like, and this is like probably more deep than most kids need to know. But it's like if you just love the game and do the work, it's like what Wayne Gretzky said. He never felt like he was ever training. He was just playing hockey or doing hockey.
Yeah.
He loved it. Sorry, go ahead.
So the one thing I want to just touch on, because she said that explicitly in the email also, is by the time he moved up to Pee Wee Major, kids began dropping like flower petals. So like kids are – that's about the – that's puberty, man. That's about that line where you start to see transitions, you know. And this, again, goes back to what I was complaining about at the start, is like we haven't even got to this transition point yet, and everyone's going crazy where you don't even know who likes what and who's going to be where, you know? And that's a big thing. So it's good for her for recognizing that, and you can see it in her philosophy with her younger boy because she's been through it once now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So it's because he loved it, he put in some work, and he didn't, and obviously it didn't feel like work for him. He just loved to be into hockey. And then And because he was probably doing, like, the way I see this is he probably, well, when people do things on their own and they practice on their own, what happens is they do a lot of self-teaching, the self-discovery of different things, right? Like, why is that shot so good and the other one sucked? Like, it's a great question. Might not seem like a much of a question, but you ask yourself that question and then you start looking for answers, right? Why does it feel like this when I do that? Well, I turn to my forehand, it's not as easy as turning on my backhand. Why is that? And then you start asking questions and you start realizing your hands here, you know, you got a weakness here, and you start working on things. So you self-discover, and that's like probably one of the best ways to start learning about the game, because you have your own feel and you're critical of yourself, and trying to fix that is huge. And and then I'm not saying this is a story of stick-to-itiveness, because that would, you know, that I'm not trying to do a Forrest Gump or something like that, a Rudy thing, but it's like, but really that's the thing, is like, he just kept sticking to hockey. Like, he wasn't very good young. He grew into it. Like, if you continue to stick handle and shoot and skate, you do get better, right? So the stick-to-itiveness over time, you probably will become a half-decent player. And the great thing I like about that is he was intrinsically motivated, right? There wasn't mom going, go practice, go to the academy, go to the skills thing, do this, do this. He was intrinsically motivated, and that's the best motivation you could have. There is no other motivation, to be honest with you. It's like when you get up, if you love something, you do it. If you have a passion for something, you do it. If you don't, you won't. And when people start telling you this is what you need to do, and I'm even talking like eating, right? A kid that's into hockey, like, there's at some point he's gonna sit there and go, "Oh, I should eat better." Like, in some way, I'm not saying it's right or something, but they think about all those things. And whereas having the outside motivation, that's not motivation; it's just freaking noise, and it's annoying.
Well, I was having this conversation about the idea of sacrifice again the other day, and because kids are talking about, you know, I have to give up this thing. Like, if you want to be, or people, I mean, this is kind of common parlance. Is that a thing?
That's a word.
Is it? When you're talking about trying to excel, it's like you have to sacrifice, you know, you have to give up to make sure you're staying on track. And again, I didn't make the NHL, so like, take this for what it is. But for me, I love playing hockey. It never felt like I was giving up anything. You know, it didn't feel like I was sacrificing the party in high school to go play hockey. It didn't feel like I was giving up time with my friends riding our bikes to go play hockey. It didn't feel like I was sacrificing my social life or you know, sacrificing my free time at night because I had to go to bed early. Like, none of that felt like sacrifice. It felt like this is just what I want to do. Like, this is what I would choose to do. Yeah. So if there was no chance of me being successful in hockey. I would have just behaved this way anyways, just because I liked it, you know. And obviously there's probably exceptions to that, where the odd time where I felt like I wanted to do this thing and I can't because of hockey, but the vast majority of the time it didn't feel like I was giving something up. I just wanted to do it, you know. And I think a lot of times with the younger kids, parents, they make that decision for the kid, where the kid isn't sure what they want to do yet, you know. And maybe they do, and maybe they would, and maybe they'll make the sacrifice and do all the stuff on their own also. But a lot of times it's just imposed on them before they're actually picking, you know. And there's nothing I like more than hearing when a parent says, yeah, the kid keeps asking me to come do your stuff, or the kid keeps, I have to bring him, he keeps begging me to come. Like, that's the kind of information that I want to be hearing from parents. Yeah, exactly. My dad would always, man, it was every year my dad would say to me, he's like, you can do one camp, you get one. That's what he'd give me in the summertime. So I wasn't doing all the stuff through the summer. So I get one. And it was like, you could do this camp, you could do this camp. And it was always just Andy's camp. And then by the time I was 11, now it wasn't a question anymore. It was just like, I'm doing Andy's camp at the end of the summer, like before the season. That's the one I'm doing. That preseason camp that you would do, that was my favorite thing to do, man. I loved doing it. Couldn't wait for it. Loved when it finished. I felt like I was confident. I was ready to go. But the rest of the summer, it's like I was playing baseball. I was a baseball kid in the summertime. Played AAA baseball. I was traveling for baseball, same as hockey. I was doing the same thing. So I wasn't on the ice in the summertime. You know, I was doing other stuff, and it made me want to be on the ice. You know, so don't underestimate the power of that. But I think it's important that you see, like, with this kid, the older kid here that she's talking about. It's like he wanted to do the stuff. He wanted to do the work, and he wasn't a great player, but he just kept plugging, and then eventually starts passing people, which is interesting. Now going to the younger boy, where it's a bit of a flip, right? He gets it the other way.
Yeah, know? Well, so what I was gonna say about that is it's classic. It's classic, man. Like talented is when you do something and it's easy and you have the talent. Yeah, of course it keeps you, and you think you're something, right? I'm not even saying you think you're something. It's just, why wouldn't I do it? I'm good at it, right? Like, I'm scoring goals. But part of that is, you, maybe if you're not at a high level yet, you don't even know what good is yet, right? You might be playing, it might be travel hockey, but it's like still a water bound. You don't have the best of the best out there, so it's hard to really say what good is. But nonetheless, talented, when it's easy, it's not a big deal. And then understanding, like, the effort part, like, if you're not challenged to score goals or to steal pucks from guys or whatever, then, like, you don't necessarily have to work hard. So it's like, it's almost learned that, well, no, I don't have to, I'm just good enough, right? But that obviously catches up to you, and that's the hard part with kids when they are, let's say, more talented than the other kids when they're young. It's to teach that lesson, that talent just isn't good enough, but it is for now. So sometimes kids don't even understand what that means, right? So that's a very hard thing, and it's a curse, man. It's a curse and a blessing to be good when you're young. And I mean, young could be 6, could be 9, could be 18, right? Someone was talking to me today about one of the exceptional status guys, and he goes, hey, like, his numbers aren't that good. I go, well, no. I'm not here to say that I know everything, but I do know this. When the kid was in grade 8, I got a picture. It was one of Charlie's teammates played with him. In grade 8, he was a foot taller than a guy Charlie plays with, and he looked 8 years older. So there was no secret, like, why he was so much better at 13, 14, 15 years old, right? So it's a curse. You're good, and he might work hard, but, like, that guy shooting pucks is – or spending a little bit of time on the outside might look like he's just so dialed in, and maybe he is, maybe he isn't. But there's no question why he was so much better. He was a good player with hair on his body that was bigger and stronger and faster than everybody, which made him look like he was that much better. And whoever the powers that be thought they were smart enough to say, oh, no, this guy's an elite, 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 elite player that no one's ever seen before. It turns out he's not.
Yeah. So,
like, why?
Let me pipe in on it. This is going to seem unrelated, but just bear with me. So, you know why when they do scientific studies, they always use adults? You know why they don't use kids for most studies? Like, if we're trying to track.
So because that target would change every 5 minutes.
Exactly. So, for example, Whoop Strap. Yeah. When you buy a Whoop Strap, if you go on the website, it will say that they don't recommend the product for kids that are under, like, 18 or whatever, because they're biological metrics, their baseline changes so frequently because of how much growth is happening that it's impossible to measure with any degree of accuracy over time. So for example, when I first got this, I wore it for, it was 3 days and then 4 weeks to get fully synced up to what my baseline metrics were. Okay. If I'm 14, then 4 weeks from now, my baseline could be different, you know? And then in another 4 weeks, my baseline could be different again. And then in 4 months, my baseline is different again. So the measurement relative to my baseline is no longer valid because my baseline is keeps changing. Whereas an adult, you have a more stable metric. And this is exactly the same thing as judging a kid who's playing hockey or playing a sport when they're young. We cannot measure. It is so hard to measure. There's extreme standouts, which everyone wants to point to as the guy that this is the McDavids, like we talk about, where it's like, yeah, okay, obviously this guy's got something here and good for him. But get outside the 1%. Nobody knows. Nobody knows, man. And it's really hard to tell because of all the things you're talking about. You know, it could be that the guy who was going to be the best got a girlfriend when he was 16 and that just totally derailed him. We know guys like that, whereas they were good players and a girl totally ruined their life, you know? And that's exactly. And that's because that's what happens in life sometimes. How do you account for that variable? You don't, because you don't know whether it's going to happen or not, you know? So there's all these different things. And so when we're talking about, you know, things, kids are good when they're earlier, it comes to them, you know, easily, as in this email is talking about. It's like, we don't know how things will change. And that's why it's difficult. And that's why scientists don't measure children when we're talking about baseline changes over time. You can't do it. It's too hard. There's too many variables to measure. So instead of that, the craziness about it, it's like understanding that and having some perspective from the parent side of it will make a lot of this stuff that's happening a lot more digestible, because it's just unpredictable, man. You don't know. You know, you can try to guide, like you always say, you try to keep them in between the lines and give them a little bit of direction to make them, you know, stay on the right track. But you can't, you don't have ultimate control, you know, after a little while. So.
No. And so it's, yeah, I'll go to that next piece after, but yeah, it's incredible. It's like, the habits, like, I guess, so the best thing, if you see your child has habits, is we're talking from the parent's perspective, is if you see your child does have some pretty good tendencies, or it seems like he's got on the better end of good, then, you know, like, one thing that you would want to pay attention to is what are their habits. And their habits are the little things that make a big difference later on. Is it, do they back check? Because that's important. Do they forecheck really hard? Do they do all the hardworking things hard? And do they use other teammates? Like, and sometimes I know parents can't measure that because they don't know, but you can always kind of see effort, right? Going to the net hard. Do they, another thing that you want to look at, especially when there's physicality, when it becomes a tough game or a physical game, do they shy away or do they engage? Because if you engage, that's a sign that there's something there. If you back off, or you don't see it in the tough games, or when guys are bigger or faster and competition's higher, if your kid disappears in that, that's a really good sign that there's probably not for him. But we talked about this yesterday as well. Sometimes that needs to be coached into people too. But as a tendency, if kids back away when things get hard, when things get tough, when things get rough, then that's probably a sign that they're not going to do a whole lot with the sport. Sorry, I just swallowed my heart or something. Right? So, yeah. So, yeah. And then when you are looking at, you know, talent, you got to be careful what you're actually comparing talent to. A lot of people would say, oh, he's really good. And then you realize, oh, they play for they're playing in a center or a world where it's, well, you're not even close to the best players. Easy to do when you're young, right?
Yeah.
I actually saw a clip yesterday. Someone posted a clip of this new phenom coming up. Well, I think it was one of ours. And I'm like, oh, come on, man. He's 6. Could skate good. Could shoot a puck.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I saw it.
So, like, at the end of the day, well, maybe that's what that goes into the academy. So I wanted to go into the academy piece. But they said they go to the academy and what did I put there? Seems like the effort's not there at the academy even. Like, so she's saying, I'm giving this kid another opportunity. It's like the effort still doesn't seem to be there. And it seems like he's almost taken it for granted. And the school's not, let me say this part. So I think, number one, it's the same thing. Yes, they see this coach every day. They're seeing these coaches every day. They're at a place of business where they're running the, like they said, the jab step, all these things. And it could be a really good program, and it might not be. But they're seeing these people every day. It's the you're on the ice every day thing where it's just like, it's just another piece of ice. And it could be a really good program. It might not be. It really won't matter. It's a lot of ice. And then what you have to understand is the effort, you can't really blame the coaches. Maybe you can, though, if the program's not good, because that could be very well. But that's an opportunity where your kid has to do the work. Like, you got to figure it out. And then, but the other thing is when you go to these academies, hockey schools, anything where people are making money, the brochure always looks good. It's always amazing. It's always this much ice time, these professional coaches, this, that. And it's like, okay. And then a lot of times people don't live up to it.
And by the way, ours is too. And this is the thing. Like, the brochure on ours,
yeah,
it's the same as everything else. It looks great. It looks great.
Of course it does. It tells you how great you are.
And I'll tell you right now, not every day is the best day.
Can't be.
Right? Can't be. And so you have to know that. Like, when they're, even like, again, back to talking to some of the parents about this stuff. It's like, we want this thing, and this thing would be great, and this thing would be great, and this thing would be great. And it's like, yeah, it would all be great. And it would probably be the best thing that's available. But that doesn't mean every moment is going to be perfect.
No,
and you're
going to
be 100% satisfied with how it goes. It's just not possible, guys.
No.
You know?
No. But even like when they talk about like the academy, it's just like the effort's not there. But you ever consider that maybe the coaches are looking at your kid too, going like, I need you to work, man. Like, they could be frustrated too. And it goes both ways, right? And it's the adult's job is to try to get motivated kids. But yeah, like it's an everyday thing. And you do the everyday thing, and you got people that sell you, they're selling you, man. It's like if you apply for a job, you don't tell them like when I worked at the grocery store when I was 15, I was late a lot of times because like I didn't care. And then the last job I had, I always came in and took extra on my lunch, and I didn't really do a lot of No, you're telling them everything, how great you are, right? It's like your first date, right? You dress pretty good and all that stuff. And after that, you start to slip. But a lot of these institutions or whatever that you go to, the brochure is awesome. It sounds great, and people are on their best behavior at first, but it's like, it's time. Give me some time and let me see what you're doing over time. Let me see how you treat the kids when you've seen them for 95 days straight. And let's see how the kids react to you when they've seen you for 90 days straight. And let's see the program then.
Yeah. So I want to let just maybe to finish just a couple of quick like specifics on this. So one is going to be, so just as an example, so the player, the younger player, he's 12 again, he's playing AAA, and then he also attends an academy. And this is her exact word. She said, I can safely say that this season has been more like a nightmare than a dream, partly because my player not kicking up his effort to the level he needed to. And then in brackets, she said, I now think he doesn't know how to do that on his own yet. And what he needed, but I didn't know at the time, was to continue more one-on-one lessons, even once the season started, and not do only group stuff, such as this academy that he's with. So,
I didn't even see that part.
Yeah, so I want to pick that apart just for a second, because still here, it's, okay, instead of this, we'll do this. Now, my inclination is, okay, maybe instead of this, maybe let's not do anything.
That's where I would go for sure.
You know? So like maybe it's pull back. Maybe it's do less. Maybe it's not replace. Because even the one-on-one lessons, like if you have, for example, we do this through the season where we'll do like Monday nights or Tuesday nights, and we have a group, and it's the same group through the week. But it's like they've already had, you know, they're coming off a weekend where they had four games, or they had two games on the weekend. They have their 2-3 practices a week. They're tired. They have a workout, and then they come see you for an extra session, which is, even if it's one-on-one, even if it's three coaches to six skaters or whatever it is, it's still more. It's still an extra thing, you know? And so I think my advice would be, like the kid better be really, really, really wanting to do the extra if you're going to do the extra. And I have, again, I have no problem with doing the extras. If you guys want to do the extras, if financially it's fine, if logistically it's fine, if the kid wants to do it and they're motivated to do it and they want to be there, all that's fine. Like there's no, I have no problem with that. With this, our business is that, you know, but if the kid is, you're not seeing a return on your investment, at a certain point, you don't keep doubling down. You know, you don't keep more. Maybe pull back and see. Maybe you pull back too much and the kid like it misses it. And he's
that's
and
what
he's,
you would like to
begging,
see.
Right?
Yeah.
And so instead of it being even that philosophy shift of, well, instead of group stuff, maybe one-on-one. That could be right. Maybe that's true. Maybe that would help. But maybe not. Maybe it would be, how about let's just remove one? Let's take one away and have him be more excited to get on the ice and to do the stuff and to see if he actually loves it or not. Like most kids are, they're force fed so much that they don't even know if they like it or not anymore because they just have to go every day. They haven't even had a chance to decide whether or not they want to go, you know? And so when it comes to the, you get this more bad taste in your mouth about the season has been more of a nightmare. And I think that's where you can end up feeling like you had a bad experience going through hockey when you do stuff like this. You know, I have one more comment I wanted to make, but do you have anything to say about that?
No, I agree 1,000%. I'm the biggest fan of taking some time off. I say this all the time. You know, a lot of people realize that if your kid gets to go and play junior or college or something like that, where hockey is a job, or it's the next step to getting a job, you'll realize that it is an everyday thing, and that the extra is because you have to, right? If you can't get pucks out of your end, you have to get on the ice and learn how to peel pucks off the wall, or your skating's not something you're going to have to spend. Like, it's a job thing now. And you don't, it's not whether you like it or not. It's a necessary evil that you have to do. And if you're fortunate enough to like it, then that's great. But what happens is it gets old fast because it is a job. And all this time that you spend, you think extra, but more is better. Then you realize it's more is just a pain in my ass. Like, actually rest is better. And I would say, exactly to your point, like, what is a private lesson? Because this is, again, comes back to the, I think, a mistake that people make when it comes to training. Let me be clear. When you're doing training, if you're doing training and development, then yes, it has to be, like, to get the best of it, should be specific to you. But everything seems to be an individual skill. So if you're not working hard, or your effort's not there and all that stuff, and then you take a private lesson, it's like you're still just working on your, like, beating the hell out of yourself, right? Like, what are we going to do for a kid what is a private lesson really going to do? I don't think you can work them too much harder, like, to get his effort level up, because it's like you and a coach. So what, you can just bag him? Or do things like, or now you could do little areas in small areas, like I was saying earlier, like where they're intense, like that's okay and stuff. But the private lesson is probably not going to be the thing. It's not the thing that's going to change your world.
Yeah, because I mean, how much? Again, it's like, how much is a 12-year-old, 13-year-old, 10-year-old really dialed into the teaching?
This is what I'm saying.
In a private lesson, so it's like, you, even if you have the best coach, it's just not necessarily appropriate. That's more for the 19-year-old that's about to be a pro, and we have to refine something, yeah,
or someone
something
going to the OHL, and
yeah,
it's like,
you know,
yeah, you've got to move your feet when you're shooting, and we're going to work on that till for the next 2 months, so that no one knows when the puck's coming off.
Exactly, you know, and I think that's the people don't really understand that mindset. I think the last thing I wanted to say is I was having a conversation with one of our dads the other day, and he was talking about how poor his kid's experience with hockey has been to this point because of the people that are in charge, like the coaches and the organizations and the, you know, the false promises and the bullshit and all this. And I guess my summary for this episode is kind of two things. One would be maybe like, well, my first message at the start of this was, guys, let's calm down. Number one. Number two would be maybe pull back on how much your kid's doing. And see what happens. Like, just see. Go against your internal drive to want to do more, and just see what happens. If you do feel like you're doing not enough for a little, and just see what happens. It'll be okay. I promise. It'll be okay. And then the last thing is when you're going to do the extras, you have to make sure you're kind of doing your best to vet what it is that you're looking at. And my one thing, because most people won't even be able to do that because they're not hockey people, but my one thing is the person that you're speaking to able to say where they're not good enough or where there might be an issue, or honestly tell you which things are not going to be the best and not just promise the world? And you buy into the sales pitch. Yeah. You know, like most people are smart enough to not buy into the spam phone call that they get. Yeah. But then as soon as we step into like the things with our kids and people can sell you the world and you get hooked on it. Yeah. You know, we have people around
here.
Well,
so the same compliment, like me and my wife laugh. We still get emails from companies that are inviting Charlie to a prospect tournament. Yeah. So like, but I'm not saying that in any weird way, but like all the listeners out there, when you get the email talking about we are having this prospect, I don't care if it says college. I don't care if it says junior this, junior that, identification camps and all this stuff. It's another, your name is another one on the list. Just like they got my son's when he was probably 11 or 12 and it's never left that list. So we still keep getting them. He's getting some for colleges now. Like, you know, we're really interested in you. Right? So when you get that and you go, wow, we got this camp he's invited to. Well, my son's not eligible to go to any of those, but he's still eligible to receive the things. Right? They'll take anybody.
Right.
Right?
So you have to be careful when you're, not even be careful, just try to do your best. And most people, I feel like they try to, but hopefully information like this is just helpful so you guys can make better decisions, because this, again, back to tying it back into the start, like this is my frustration, is there's you'll find honest people out there that are actually just trying to do a good job. They exist. You just have to do your due diligence best you can to make those judgments so that you're not constantly having this negative or bad taste in your mouth about all this stuff that your kid is doing, because you can keep spending money, man. There'll always be someone there to take your money. There'll always be someone there to ask you to sign up for something. And this is not to bash hockey schools. Like, we run a hockey school. It's like this, people, and a lot of people that are even trying to do a good job just can't, because they just don't have the skills, but they want to provide a service. It's like, that's, I get it, right? But I don't know. This has been more just like my airing my frustrations about some of this stuff, and then hopefully giving some guidance for many parents that are kind of in the same situation as this lady is that wrote to us, because it's not, these are all common conversations that we constantly have, and what a piece of frustration it can be. So hopefully there's something there that's kind of helpful, again, to try to get you guys in the right frame of mind when you're making some of the decisions about this stuff, right? So
right on.
So that's all I got. Anything else for you?
No, good. No?
Okay.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, bye.
Bye.